Yes. Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11. This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line on this Friday morning, September the 9th. And in our first segment of the program, Melanie Cavender is with us, and she is with the After Breast Cancer Ministry of the YMCA. And I understand that Rutherford County has one of the highest incidences of breast cancer in the volunteer state. We're going to be talking about that. But more important, we're going to be learning what the YMCA is offering to persons who are survivors of breast cancer. Melanie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us on this beautiful day. It's gorgeous outside.
It's very beautiful. Now, beautiful fall day.
Tell us, how long has the local YMCA been offering this special ministry?
We've been offering the ABC program for a little bit over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. How many people have been helped through the program?
We've been able to help over 280 ladies.
Wow. That's phenomenal. You have actually changed their lives. And I guess really a lot of this is being able to get together with other women who are experiencing the same thing, letting you know you're not alone.
That's correct. We try and encourage that the women get to know one another. We have monthly meetings where I bring in educational speakers, and they are able to connect with one another, and it gives them hope because they can see others that are further down the pike.
I was surprised to hear that Rutherford County has not just one of the highest rates of breast cancer in Tennessee, but the highest.
According to what I've been told, that is correct. It's not that there is an outbreak in Rutherford County. I think it's basically because, as it's been shown, Rutherford County is one of the largest counties in the state of Tennessee now, and we have one of the highest populations.
Mm-hmm. And so when people discover that they have breast cancer, that has to be a shocking moment in their life. I mean, you probably, if you've had any cancer of any type, just learning that you have it, it has to really knock you down, and you think, what am I going to do now?
Yes, and I know that firsthand because I'm a 5-year breast cancer survivor myself. And yes, when you hear those words, you have breast cancer, your whole life stops. And you have to make a lot of decisions in a very short amount of time with very little education. And you have to count on having good medical advice. You can also be able to go online. However, being online can sometimes be very scary. You sometimes get the wrong information because everything is very, very specific to the individual according to the size of the tumor, what kind of tumor it is. You can say that people have breast cancer, but there's a lot of different kinds of breast cancer.
When you found out that you had cancer, what was your first thought? Did you go to tell your family, or did you sort of keep it to yourself for a little time? What did you do?
No, I ended up telling quite a few. I was a fitness instructor. I had taught class just the day prior, went in to have my biopsy, found out that it was breast cancer, and everything stopped. So it was pretty much a very public thing for me. Very difficult for me to handle because so many people did know. And I had problems going out in the public after that because I didn't want to be asked a lot of questions.
That's interesting because, you know, when you tell a lot of people that you have a certain problem or want to accomplish something, all having similar responses, that usually focuses you more on wanting to accomplish a certain goal, and your goal would be to survive. But it sounds like you had the opposite reaction. You just wanted, you shared it with everybody, and then you wanted to stay in.
I did. I had a lot of anxiety over having to say it over and over and over again, because when you have to say, I have breast cancer, it is very difficult mentally, because you end up going down roads in your mind that you don't need to go down, and you don't have a lot of answers immediately. So it's a process, and it's hard. Once you have a game plan, you seem to mentally calm down, but it's when you're waiting for those reports, you're waiting for the type of surgery, you're waiting for the medical advice. It's very scary, very scary.
And that takes a long time. It seems like ages, I'm sure, if you're waiting for those results.
It seems like ages. It actually can only take a few days in some cases, but in your mind, it seems like an eternity. And it's hard to sleep. It's hard to go on with your life and do the day-to-day activities. You feel like you're just going through the motions, and you just want to scream to everybody, hey, you need to slow down. I've got cancer. But the world goes on, and that's what's hard to handle sometimes.
You know, looking at this from an outsider, which I would be considered an outsider, it seems like getting involved with a group like this breast cancer group with the YMCA, that would be phenomenal. I mean, you have people who have been down that road. It's the fear of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, and they can help you better prepare yourself.
That's correct. The problem was, when I was diagnosed, there was no program. There wasn't anything out there. And so that's why I went and got trained. I was just absolutely stunned that there was no help. You go through all your surgeries, and as I said, it's kind of a quick process. And then all of a sudden, you're left with the aftermath. And what do you do? And there's no breast cancer rehab out there. So I went and got trained with a program called Pink Ribbon. And I became a certified post-op breast cancer specialist. And after I did, the YMCA contacted me. I had started teaching classes again, and they asked me if I would like to be the ABC coordinator. And when I heard what ABC meant, it was talking about working with women after they've had breast cancer. I thought, oh, this is it. God's answered my prayer. So we started the program, and I had such good success that the Y decided that as each site comes up, they wanted to have the women trained as Pink Ribbon specialists so that you have the knowledge. Because there are certain things that you are not to do after you've had lymph nodes removed. And 95% of all breast cancer survivors will have had lymph nodes removed. So therefore, they are always at risk for lymphedema. And no one told me that. In fact, I was told just the opposite. I was told, oh, Melanie, you're too active. You'll never have to worry about that. But that's not true. And so I spend a great deal of time with each lady that comes through the program, making sure they realize that they are at risk for the rest of their lives. So yes, they've gone through breast cancer, but 20 years down the road, all of a sudden, they might have lymphedema, which is a swelling in the arm or the chest area. And it can be very hard to deal with, not only physically, but mentally. And we're lucky there is treatment here in Murfreesboro, but if you don't even know to ask, then how do you know that there's available treatment? But it's very debilitating for some women, and they have to wear a sleeve. If you see a lady out in public that has a compression sleeve on her arm, that means that's the only way she can cope with her lymphedema, and that's something she has to live with every day.
But you're saying that if you knew in advance what not to do, your chances of getting lymphedema would be dramatically reduced.
This is true. They have told us that they do not know why certain women get lymphedema and certain women don't. But there is a guideline that I go over that's called the 18 Steps to Prevention. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we try and keep women from getting the lymphedema. But then again, I tell them all the time, it's like breast cancer. The medical community does not have any answers as to why certain women get it and certain women don't. But I can tell you for a fact, because I ended up with lymphedema myself, is there are things that if I had known not to do, one being that I got on an airplane without a lymphedema sleeve on, and when I got off of the airplane, my arm was swollen. And so that started it for me. And then I was diagnosed with it at the age of 46, and I have to deal with it the rest of my life.
Let's go to the telephones. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. You're on WGNS with Melanie Cavender. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. My stepmom is actually going through breast cancer for the second time. She was 2 years out, and you said something that is what I tell to everybody that I have come in contact with since, and that is the waiting part. the waiting part between finding out that you have it and what the real prognosis is and what treatment you're going to do. That was absolutely the hardest time, not only for my stepmom, but for me and my entire family, because you have to sit there and wait of that. You know, at first they tell you worst case scenario. Okay, you're a stage three or four, and so you do what every good American does. You jump online and Google stage three and four cancer and realize that you're going to die tomorrow. And it's really tough. That was the absolute hardest part, was waiting those 3 to 4 weeks. You know, you have a biopsy and you find out, and then they have to send the biopsy off for more testing, and then you go to the oncologist and they're trying to decide if you're going to have chemo or if you're going to do radiation. Or that was absolutely the hardest part, because you try to research yourself and you just think of worst case scenario.
And this was your mother that's going through this, is that right?
Yes, this is my stepmother.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, she was two years out, and actually the breast cancer itself is not back. It was the metastatic portion of the disease that came back. So, and it absolutely was. Those 3 to 4 weeks in between deciding, you know, what treatment they were going to do, what our options were, and letting them do genetic testing on it to see exactly what stage it was at that point. You just think worst case scenario in your head. And I have a really good friend that's going through it with her mom now, and that's what I explained to her. The worst part of it is the waiting game, because you don't know how to prepare yourself, because you're just thinking worst case scenario at that point. And it's tough. It is absolute the toughest part of all of it, because you just think the worst case scenario. But once we got, okay, this is what we're going to do, we're going to treat it with some chemo, and you're going to do it here, everybody was kind of at ease at that point. Once you know the treatment plan and what's going to happen, it tends to get a little bit easier. But that first month is absolutely torture, not only on the patient, like,
has your stepmother gone through the ABC program at the YMCA?
She has not, and this is the first I've heard of it, but I'm certainly going to recommend it to her. And I have a really good friend in Chattanooga that her mom is going through this, and I'm going to recommend it to her as well.
Well, let's have a little conversation here. Melanie, what kind of response would you have for this lady whose stepmother is going through exactly what you went through, and you can relate to that?
What I would encourage her to do is to call the YMCA, and that number is 895-5995, and she would ask for the ABC coordinator. Mm-hmm. And what we would do is set up an appointment with her, and I would give her some resource information, as well as trying to give her information about nutritional. We have a nutritionist that meets with her. And then we also get her lined up with a pink ribbon trainer who would work with her for 16 weeks. And we would attempt to strengthen her, because once ladies have gone through breast cancer, they are never allowed to have estrogen again. And if you can't have estrogen, then that depletes the bone. And one of the main things that women can do to increase the density of bones is to do weight training. But once again, there are limitations because they've had lymph nodes removed. But what we try and do is help them on their journey, and that's why the program is 16 weeks. The beauty of all of this is that we offer it free to anyone. You can be a 2-month survivor. You can be a 20-year survivor. It is open to anyone that's had breast cancer. We are just trying to help them on their journey. And I can tell you, as you said, that it is a nightmare when you're making those decisions. But once you have the plan, there is a high cure rate of this. And our medical community is so advanced compared to where it was when my grandmother went through this, where it was not a very good diagnosis. However, we always tell the ladies that the key is making sure you get your treatment, making sure you're doing your breast exams to find out if you need to have any testing done. And then there is such a high rate that people that are able to survive compared to years ago. It was a death sentence years ago, and it's not near that anymore. I have several women that are stage four who live several years after they've been diagnosed as stage four.
Does that help you out a bit?
That's awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Good luck to you. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about the ABC program at the YMCA. And the thing that is so impressive is that all of this care, all of this information which helps you through this unknown period in your life is free. I mean, and you're already probably facing an equally unknown mountain of bills, so that fear is there, but that fear doesn't have to be there at all. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Bart, I am great. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Bart, earlier this week I called because I am a 12-year cancer survivor,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to let everyone know who's going through this that you're not alone. There are a lot of people, and there are also support groups that will help. And I was listening to the young lady that's there and the young lady that called in just a moment ago, and my first thought was, with cancer, it's devastating. But what I found out in my journey back in 1999 was, first of all, make sure that your medical group are people who you consider top-notch. Because when I found out that I had breast cancer in January, the relationship that my doctor and I had, and probably a lot of his patients, was, if you deemed it emergency, he said, call me at home. When I found out that day that I had breast cancer, I called my primary physician at home that night. And I said, I have to come in. I desperately need to talk to you. And I told him what was going on. He said, be there first thing in the morning. I got there. I had to wait a little bit, but he took me right in. I told him what was going on, the tests and everything that I had gone through. And I just told him flat off, you know, this is my life. I only want the best doctors. And he understood that. You know, it's not because so-and-so is your friend or, you know, I'm going to make a little off of you, so I'm going to hook my friend up to you. No, no, no. I told him, I only want the best because this is my life. And now, this young lady and the other one that called in, now, my treatment went extremely, I'm talking about the process went fast.
Mm-hmm.
Diagnosed in January, had my lumpectomy surgery February, started my treatment in March. You know, but I think it's all according to the doctors or the facility that you're hooked up to. You know, mine was, I had stage two breast cancer. I did have to have one lymph node removed, but I did not suffer from the swelling of the arm. there is a magazine, Bart, and I'm going to get that information to you.
Okay.
Concerning, there is a book or a magazine type that is free for cancer patients, cancer survivors, and those who are caregivers of cancer. And it's called CURE, C-U-R-E. And this is, you get it quarterly. And I tell you what, knowledge is power.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
I have been reading these articles when they send them to me. And I noticed that maybe what I went through during my treatment, now some of it is like obsolete. Because I took 36 rounds of radiation. And for people who say, what is that? I went every day for about 6.5 weeks, months. Monday through Friday taking radiation treatment. But now I have read that some women, or maybe their stage is that once you have your breast surgery, they also can do something that cover your radiation treatment.
Mm-hmm.
For fear of telling it wrong, but there is a way that once you have your surgery, at the same time, you have radiation treatment, and you never have to take it again.
Well, and I think we need to also remember, Melanie Cavender at the beginning of the program said, every case is different.
Exactly.
So what you've found true for you may be different for somebody
right.
else.
But like I said, Bart, if you have a relationship with your doctors, I think that to me was the key for me. Might not work for no one else, but it was the key that I had, because I felt very comfortable, like calling my primary care physician at home that night,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
when I was told, I went into complete shock. I think by the time it really settled in on me, it was maybe 4 or 5 hours later, and I just felt, you know, I just said, God, what do I need to do? Please put the right people in my path. And I'm thankful. And I'm going to get off bar because I know somebody probably else want to call in. But thank you so much. And
thank
like
you.
I said, I'm going to get you that information so
oh,
you
great.
Can put it on your website.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye.
And it's callers like that that help people when they're finding out. And probably somebody today will find out that they have cancer, whether it's breast cancer or any form of cancer. That fear has to take over. It just has to take over, and you don't know what to do.
And I think one of the things to remember is, as she was talking about the fear that she had, when you hear those words, I cannot describe to you, when someone looks you in the eye and says, you have cancer, because all of us have seen worst case scenarios. Well, in my case, I thought, oh, I'll never see my grandchildren. I'll never see my girls get married. And even though I had a very, I was stage one, which if you have to have it, that's the best kind. And mine was non-invasive. I did have a very good diagnosis, but that still didn't help ease my mind. And so one of the things that she referenced is you do have to have a good medical team and someone that you've got trust in, because they're making some very critical decisions for you, and it is your life. And I always tell everybody that comes through the program, if you are not comfortable, then get a second opinion. However, we have a wonderful medical team here in Murfreesboro, and they have been so kind to recommend our program, and we have tried to make sure that they all know what we're trying to do. And I can tell you that we have been so pleased with the outcome with so many of the women in Murfreesboro. One other thought that I had was, as she was speaking, is two things she mentioned. One in seven women will have breast cancer. That's just a given. That's the norm now. And that doesn't mean, oh, I don't have anybody in my family that's ever had it. That doesn't stand anymore. Our generation, the 40 people that are 40s, 50s, 30s in their age, the bulk of who are coming through my program are in their 40s and 50s. This is not an old lady's disease anymore. When my grandmother was diagnosed, I thought she was old. She was a grandmother. I have young women that are 28, 30 years old coming through my program that have small children, and they're being diagnosed. I have participated in a study at Vanderbilt, and one of the things that they brought about is our generation is the first generation that has come along that has eaten the most processed food. We've eaten at McDonald's growing up. We've eaten all of the fast food chains. We've eaten everything in the grocery stores that you can find. We didn't stay in the outer edges where it was all fresh, whereas the generation ahead of us, they grew their own vegetables. They knew what the chemicals were that were going into it. So they don't know why, but there is 1 in 7 women that will be diagnosed. Another point she brought up was about the genetic testing. And that is a very integral part of the puzzle now. You can be tested. It's not as easy as it has been presented on television, where you can just walk in off the street and ask for this test. But it's a test where they look at the chromosome makeup, and it's called BRCA1, BRCA2, BRCA1, BRCA2. If you test positive for that, then that does increase your odds for breast cancer and ovarian and cervical. So it is an important piece of the puzzle, but because of the way insurance is now, it's not something you can walk in off the street. You would have to have probably someone in your family to be diagnosed. However, we tell women about this all the time, and I had a lady in my program that had three daughters. She had done the lumpectomy and the radiation and decided to have the test after the fact, discovered that, yes, she did carry the gene. And she ended up going back in and having a bilateral mastectomy and a complete hysterectomy because of that information she was able to obtain, because it will decrease her odds of the cancer coming back. So I try and tell people, one of the other points this lady made was, it is an ever-changing thing. I've been a survivor 5 years. Things they were doing 5 years is not the same thing they're doing now. So it is, knowledge is power, and that's why my monthly meetings, I try and bring in local physicians or people from Nashville that can give us what is the most up-to-date current information so that we can make good decisions, because it isn't something like the flu where you get over it. It's always going to be a part of who you are, and it's a journey. And my goal is to try and help women be educated, be powerful, because we designed the program that we're all going to live a long time.
And it sounds like the sooner you get plugged in to the ABC program at the YMCA, the better you are.
I think it is. I was floundering myself. I was just out on the internet looking for anything that I could find, and I wasn't always finding good information that applied to me. So I think that the ABC program, we offer education. I give them resources of where to find things. I was having to ask everybody, where do you go get this? What do I do for this? And sometimes the information was not correct. And I've worked real hard of trying to compile a folder full of material for them. We use material from Susan G. Komen to give them general education. I give them resources that are available here locally where they can get the things that they need. I ended up opening a wig bank just a year ago over the fact that to get a wig is very expensive. And as we've already said, the medical costs are unreal. So I wanted to figure out how to let women get a wig for free. So we went and we found a grant, a local grant through Middle Tennessee Electric, through their care program, and they supplied us a grant, and we were able to open a wig bank a year ago at Top of the Block Hair Salon. And what we do is we have one of the ladies that's in my program that meets with them. We help them select a wig. The hairstylist there will style it for free. And that's another part of the journey. It's like a lot of women tell me, you know, nobody knows I've had breast cancer unless my hair is gone. And then it's like a huge neon sign that something's going on. And it's very hard for women, very difficult.
For people to learn more about the After Breast Cancer Program at the YMCA here in town, what should they do? Just call the Y or what?
Yes, the best way to do, we also have it on Facebook. We're also on the internet. You can look up the YMCA locally, and we will talk about ABC program. But the easiest thing to do is just pick up the phone, call 895-5995, and ask about ABC, and they'll connect you to me, and we will give you the information that you need and get you started with the program.
Now, how often do you get together?
It's based one-on-one. We don't do...
Okay.
It's
so
totally one-on-one.
So if a person just finds out today and they are at that point, which you can relate to, of not knowing what is this evening going to bring, what's tomorrow going to bring, you can get with them quickly.
Yes, I can. And we can do some of the preliminary on the front end. I can help them know what's going to happen when they go in for surgery. We try and ease their minds. I've even gone to the point of, because I have had breast cancer, and if I have a lady that's looking at a mastectomy, I have gone to the point of showing them my scars. Mm-hmm. And you cannot believe how calming that is for them to realize that this is not so mutilating as they think it is, the way it was years ago. When my grandmother had a mastectomy, it was horrendous. They had to take so much more of the anatomy. They had to take the entire chest muscle. And those women looked like burn victims by the time it was over because they had to graft their skin. Now it is nowhere near like that. And just having that peace of mind to know, oh, it's not going to be as bad as I've envisioned. And I also try and tell them, if you're going to have chemo, it's not like you see in the movies where you're puking just nonstop. There are so many things that they're able to do to help with the nausea. They are great at helping you through that. The radiation part, people always have heard, oh, they just burn you to death. And that's not true. There is so much more refined than it was years ago. And they have lotions and creams that they will suggest that you use. And pretty much they can, it's not as bad as everybody thinks it can be. And what my purpose is, I try to help them through it. I want to be there for them. And we try and provide resources. If I have someone that's fixing to go through chemo, and I've already had someone that's gone through that, I'll connect them and I'll let them talk. If someone's fixing to lose their hair, I connect them with someone that's already lost their hair and gone through it. But we try and make sure that the women have the emotional support, which is what the why is all about. It's not just the physical part, because once they have lymph nodes removed and go through the surgery, they are very limited on their arm range of motion. And so we help them with that, but we also help them with mind, body, and spirit, and that's what the why is all about.
You need to keep in mind that this program is available locally at the YMCA, and when you need it, or when a loved one needs it, you now have the information, and you need to contact Melanie Cavender or any of the other folks at the YMCA for more information, and they will plug you in very quickly, because that is so important, it sounds like. Melanie, thank you for sharing that with us this morning.
Thank you.
Melanie Cavender visiting with us this morning, the After Breast Cancer Program, ABC, with the YMCA here in Rutherford County. We'll be back in just a moment and continue the conversation. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about 9/11. What were you doing on 9/11?
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now, and we're excited about our new owners and what's going on. I think we'll be able to offer you increasing value, customer satisfaction, and selection. So come see us at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Your football headquarters.
People that youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Played Against Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again, Rutherford County. As you make your way into work this Friday morning, guys, happy to report no accidents out there along your interstates. Things looking much better along I-24 going into the downtown area. However, Highway 70 through Murfreesboro around Overhead Bridge Road has really started to slow down. Also want you to be aware, road construction work continues along Maney Avenue between Broad Street and East Castle Street. Access drives to local residents and businesses will be kept open at all times. If you need a personal injury attorney, call the law office of Henry S. Queener, located at 1230 17th Avenue in Nashville. Give them a call at 327-9999. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Let's take a look now at that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a slight chance for showers today, otherwise partly sunny skies, a high in the upper 70s with a light wind out of the west. Partly cloudy skies tonight, low of 58. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 63.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
The latest local news, weather, swap and shop, good neighbor events, and more is at your fingertips. WGNSradio.com. WGNS Murfreesboro.
The air on my skin and the world under my toes. Slavery stitched to the fabric of my clothes. Chaos and commotion wherever I go. Love I try to follow. Love will come set me free.
What were you doing on 9/11, 10 years ago? You know, I would imagine that you will always remember, and this shows you the impact that that day had on our lives. You will remember, and here it is 10 years later, you will remember exactly what you were doing, what was going on around you, whether it's 10 years ago, 20 years down the road, 30 years, you will still remember what you were doing. There are just some things that happen that are so strong, that have such an impact on your life, your way of life, that you remember them. And that's what 9/11 did for Americans. But really, in checking around, not only Americans, but people all around the world, they were impacted by this act of terrorism, this war, and it was a war. 3,000 people lost their lives in four different incidences on that morning of September the 11th, 2001. Four different incidences. We don't stop and think about that. And sometimes we lose track that there were four. Two in New York City. The two World Trade Towers. Two of those. One that went into a field in Pennsylvania. That one probably was heading toward the White House. But that was changed. And then the other one into the Pentagon. That's four. Four different terrorist attacks, very carefully put together, and all will be remembered for the rest of our life and for the lives to come, because all of those events changed the America that we know and continue to change it. That's why I wanted to get some of your thoughts today on 9/11. Has that changed you dramatically? How has it changed you? What are some of the things that you think about when you think 9/11? And as you have children who come along now, who either were born after 9/11 or were so young when this happened, they don't know what it was. What are the same things that you are concerned with them? What are your fears for them? What are your hopes for them? This is your opportunity to share with us some of your feelings right now. Now, this is going to be a short program. This segment is a short segment, so we need your input. 893-1450. 893-1450. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that 9/11 commemoration on the Murfreesboro Square this morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock this morning on the square. The Murfreesboro Fire Department, they are the ones who've put this together. 10 o'clock on the Murfreesboro Square this morning. Former State Representative John Hood has some words that we need to hear at 10 o'clock this morning on the Murfreesboro Square. Emergency responders from the Fire Department, law enforcement agencies, paramedics, they all will be there this morning, a part of this healing. And it is a healing. It's a worldwide healing that's going to take a good while to actually to happen. And we're still going through the process 10 years later. but that is a date we will never forget. That's 10 o'clock this morning on the Murfreesboro Square. That is one of those major events you need to attend. 10 this morning on the Murfreesboro Square. The other one is Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday afternoon from 1 until 5 at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Now, this is an ongoing event at the Sheriff's Office. This is the 10th annual 9/11 commemoration, as in the past. They have a variety of events for all ages, things for the family to do, flag waving, great music, patriotic music, food. But this year, something even more special. On Sunday afternoon at the Sheriff's Office, they will be dedicating a monument to 9/11. And part of that monument is one of the big I-beams from Twin Tower Number 1. It is actually there at the Sheriff's Office at 940 New Salem Highway. Now, you need to be there, too. You need to have your family there, your children, your grandchildren, because these are feelings of America that we need to instill not only in ourselves, but in our children. So that's 10 o'clock this morning on the Murfreesboro Square, 10 this morning, and then Sunday afternoon from 1 until 5. And that's at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, 1 until 5, this Sunday afternoon. 9/11, a day we will never forget. You're listening to WGNS, and our phone lines open. We will be back and take some calls in just a moment. Stay with us, won't you?
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I probably was the most stubborn human being on the face of the earth to have to come to the fact that I needed help.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
Never be afraid to ask. You're able to keep yourself in your home. Those choices can be given to you.
We do a great job with our clients, but we try just as hard to support and be there for our caregivers.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com. Maybe you need a new mattress, but you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
It is I, the G-Man, coming to you via AM and FM on the Big G, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Ronnie Martin wins the WGNS birthday cake from Junior's Foodland. Ronnie Martin, happy birthday, Ronnie. And Christy Sanford receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts as today's WGNS Good Neighbor of the Day. Christy Sanford is always having a big smile and a positive attitude that makes a world of difference in the lives of those she touches at the Greenhouse Ministries. Christy Sanford, our good neighbor today. Now we encourage you to think and share with us about 9/11. How did that touch you? Do you still relate to it 10 years later? 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. I know that you were impacted by it. I can remember very clearly what I was doing. We were on the radio that morning, and I had no idea that anything of this magnitude was going on. We were talking about a production at the theater here in town. I can remember it just as clear as it happened yesterday. And I remember going to the network news at the top of the hour, which is something we always do, and it wasn't there. And I thought, what is wrong with this? Why is the news not there? It's always there. Where's the network? It wasn't there at all. And we started checking with other sources, and within probably 5 or 10 minutes, were able to make connections through the Atlanta Braves, which is, when you have a situation as grave as we had that day 10 years ago, you make connections with the rest of the world in some pretty unique ways. We've always been, at least for almost 30 years, an Atlanta Braves affiliate. So we were able to connect to the world through them, and then later on through ABC. But we found out that the reason why we were not able to connect with the network that morning was because their transmission system was on top of the World Trade Center. And obviously, that was gone. That was gone by that time. You never know how your life is impacted and how you might be directly brought into that. There was a lady here in Murfreesboro whose son was eating breakfast in a restaurant at the World Trade Center. He was on the first floor. Now, you have to realize that this began around 7:45 in the morning, New York time, and it took a while for that building to fall. I mean, a good while, a couple of hours. And what he was seeing outside the window of that restaurant was a lot of action, fire trucks, people running everywhere. And you're inside the restaurant, and you're thinking, what is going on out there? But you have your breakfast there in front of you, and you feel safe. And what he did, and I think this is really showing you how small the world is. He called his mother here in Murfreesboro, and he said, I don't know what's going on, but there are fire trucks, ambulances, policemen running everywhere on the streets out in front of me. And she said, I'll tell you what's going on. We're watching it on TV. Get out of there quickly. Get out of there as quickly as you can. That advice he took, and he's back in Murfreesboro, safe. You never know where your safety link is coming from. We thank you for joining us today. I wish we had more time, but the time has left us already. You have a super rest of the day. We look forward to seeing you this morning at 10 o'clock on the Murfreesboro Square.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Cole Porter's Anything Goes tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. And over in Smyrna at the Lamplighters Theater, it's Annie tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and a 4:30 Sunday afternoon.